All right, everybody. Our guest today is my big brother, Bobby. He didn't disappoint. He's the first guest we ever had that just grabbed the mic right off the stand and just owned it. We had a hilarious conversation talking about a bunch of old hunting stories, opening day stories. I think you guys are going to laugh your asses off. So without further ado, my big brother, Bob Ruff. What's up, Mustachio? How you feeling?
I'm doing all right, man. Doing okay.
Are you hot now? Like recording hot?
Yeah.
Has anybody ever done this before?
No.
That's a first. That is a first.
I like to be comfortable when I'm podcasting, Bert.
Think about to turn your levels down a little bit, Bob.
Well, I have a booming baritone.
It looks like it. Hitting pretty high there, Bob. Talk again. Say something.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Fuck. They're peeking right out.
There, I think.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Still a little hot, Bert.
Still looks a little hot. How about now?
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. There you go. That's where you want it.
Right on the edge.
Really capture the quality of my voice. That's what you're looking for.
My brother is no stranger to podcasts.
Yes, we're with a celebrity today.
And he's holding it like he's running a talk show right now.
Right. Well, I don't like the height of your stand. And
I think you could adjust it.
I can't. I like to be comfortable when I podcast, Bert.
Well, shit, too.
Do you see?
This room breeds comfort, you see? So.
Right. Look at you. How do you look? Do you look chill? Nope.
I'm just drinking my coffee, man.
Look at Mustachio. He look chill?
Nope. Not really.
But if I try to do that, I'm always afraid I'm going to get it too far away and then too...
You know, right. It takes years of practice.
You do look pretty steady with that hand.
Right. I've actually never done this before in every podcast I've ever recorded.
But you always wanted to.
I always wanted to.
So then why not try it on
right.
this one?
Right. Being the guest. That way, like, barriers. If I want to, like, ask Adam a question, I can do it. Talk show thing.
So you're our first guest that has a blue check mark in front of his Twitter name.
Yeah, I'm a big deal. So.
I've seen you on TV before. That is a big deal.
Yeah, we learned last night that you actually have special Twitter privileges.
Right. That was only because I was making fun of our cousin. Because he said he wants a blue check. Because do you know that when they give you the blue check, it actually gives you in your notifications a section for like normal, like to look at everybody's notifications or mentions or verified. So you can literally, if you only give a shit about other people with blue checks when you have a blue check. I don't do that. I could give a shit less. But it's like, that is the most arrogant bullshit that they put on there. Like, just in case you don't want to hear from the little people, you can go to this section.
Well, you're a VIP now. So.
Right, yeah.
Nice.
So you want to explain to our listeners why you have a blue check mark?
I don't know. They Twitter gave me one.
How'd you earn it, Bob?
I have a podcast. It's called Truth and Justice.
I know you're so tired of explaining, but
a lot of people listen to Truth and Justice. It's a top 100 show on iTunes, or it has been for a while. So they said you need a blue check,
and that's where you get yeah. And then on your podcast, you actually get people out of jail and shit.
Well, we did once. We just did, yeah. But yeah, so we investigate wrongful conviction cases, and it's a crowdsourced investigation, so we ask our listeners to help out, and it's the whole concept is kind of what ordinary people can do to reform the criminal justice system. And yeah, just a couple of weeks ago, we flew down to Texas and walked a man out of prison after 20 years being wrongfully incarcerated. So,
oh, that's cool.
And Twitter's like,
have a blue check.
Have a blue check.
You've certainly earned it.
All right.
You comfy? Thought you were already working.
Well, I realized that I didn't have both of you in my peripheral.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah. You know how you guys have like a serious show? Like you educate the public. Like I have ideas. I don't know what you want to talk about, but I have some ideas.
What you got, Bob?
This episode should be like what to do when shit breaks bad when you're hunting. Because we have a lot of stories about when, like, the wrong... Everybody just talks about, like, how to do things, but what do you do when you fuck shit up?
When the right way goes wrong.
Right. Like we fucked shit up a lot of times in the last 30 years.
Oh, there's some shit that has gone down.
Right.
<It's> Literally.
Down. Right. You ever see a man poop out of a tree, Adam?
No, I haven't, Bob. Okay. No, I haven't. I don't have a blue check next to my name either. Right.
Comes with the territory.
These things come with time and territory.
Pre-check territory. I wouldn't allow those things to happen around me.
That was over a decade ago, I think, wasn't it?
You'd like to wish it was.
I like to think it was, right? Yeah. When you got to go, you got to go.
When nature calls and you're in nature.
It's like a man growing a 16-foot tail.
There's a picture on Facebook somewhere.
Visual I don't really need.
Neither did I.
Our hunting was definitely ruined after that, but
yeah, no kidding.
Well, the whole point I had to shit out of the tree stand was so I didn't ruin the hunting, as ironic as that is. He's like, I text Bob, I said, I gotta go, dude. I gotta go bad.
Right.
And it was like
and I performed what's known affectionately as the Jedi mind fuck.
Big time. Big time. He's like, You're not gonna ruin my hunting right now.
You can't get down.
Which he's 150 yards away from me.
Right.
Upwind. So it was absolutely gonna ruin my hunting, but I just wanted to see if I could get him to do it.
And he did.
And he did, yeah. Here we are today talking about it.
Well, he's like, you're just gonna have to hold it in. I'm like, I can't. And then from his angle
I could see through the pine trees that I was in, I could see a tree. And then some shuffling around. And then just a because the tree was between him and I could see just the white ass stick out from behind the tree and then grow a tail.
Interesting.
And that was hilarious for about 3 minutes until the wind hit.
Yeah.
And then I got down and I went inside.
Because the hunt was over.
Right.
The smell was real.
I'm going to tell you, that maneuver was not easy. I was hunting out of... I was in a tree stand that we call the death trap.
Oh.
If that says anything.
Just complicate things further.
Yeah. That one, the ladder snapped on me. Yeah.
Which he didn't stop hunting in it when the ladder snapped.
No. Like I was climbing up and I got almost to the top and you got to like kind of rock yourself forward to get up into this thing. And I rocked backwards and the strap on the ladder went. And then I started to go backwards.
Whoa.
Caught a branch, got up in the tree stand and then just kind of kept hunting out of it with that crooked ladder like that.
Okay.
But yeah, anyway.
So how'd you get down?
It was a process.
Okay.
Brent has a reputation for some of the most stellar hanging of tree stands ever. Like,
oh, here we go. Here we fucking
levelness. None of them had, like, he'll throw up a ladder stand and I just like throw it up, put a strap on it, and then you go to climb into it and like as it's wobbling your way up and then you like, you know, it's a two-man stand, so you sit on one side or the other, and the whole stand goes.
Ooh.
And if it doesn't move, you're still leaning to one side.
Right. That sounds
one time. That happened one time.
You almost killed Popsy.
No, that wasn't my fault.
It was your stand.
I mean, it was my fault. But
that wasn't
because the stand was hung fucked up. That was because it wasn't maintained properly.
Wait, Popsy has some of the best hunting ever, right, in his own house. And he never hunts. He finally bought himself a crossbow for the first time in like 20 years. He's gonna go out there and he's going to go hunt in the backyard with his new crossbow, which he now is a waste of $500 because he goes out, he starts climbing up. He says, I'll go in this ladder stand. It's nice. It's a two-man stand, easy to get into. Gets halfway up the ladder and then the whole fucking stand comes straight back on top of him. He lands on the ground with his crossbow under him on top of the crossbow and the whole stand on top of him, and walked his ass right back inside. Brent sent a few people back inside by the end of the day.
Sounds like you're dangerous to hunt around.
Hey. But the funny thing was, it was convincing Popsy to hunt out of the tree stand in the first place. That's the sad part.
Okay.
Get up there. It's fine. It's easy.
No, I put it up myself.
First time in 20 years he decides to climb up in a tree stand and it falls on him.
Yeah. No, and I got him up into one. I did get him one more time to go up into my stand when we went out gun. I was taking Quentin out, my son, to go out and during muzzleloader season. Or no, it was just during gun season, but I had my muzzleloader and told Popsy to come on. He's like, I'm just gonna go sit. You know, I'm just gonna go sit down in those clump of trees right there. He's like, you're gonna be sitting right in front. I'm 16 foot up in the air with a gun that will shoot 300 yards. Don't sit there. Right. Go up there, sit in that tree stand. And it was one of those short little 16 foot ladder stands. Just go sit in that stand and with your shotgun, and you'll have a good view of everything up there. And then that was when things go wrong, when you know, do you know that you should always clean your muzzleloader?
Some people would say after every shot.
Right, yeah, after every shot. Certainly after every use.
Right, right.
Well, I had shot, remember that little 7-point I shot out in the middle of the field in the snow that day? Well, I was on a drought. The year before was the first year of my entire life that I didn't get a deer.
Right.
And then this whole season was dragging on and didn't get a deer.
So the pressure was on.
Right. And I've got this, you know, it was a decent little 7-point out in the middle of the field, and it was maybe, I don't know, it was like a 160-yard shot. It was a long shot, but I had a little opening in the brush where I was at. Took the shot, dropped him. I was all excited about it. And this is like end of muzzle loading season. And then went home and did my thing, bragged about it, put pictures of it on Facebook and everything.
Set the gun down, didn't bother to.
Right. Next year, I get up and I go, and I was just unprepared. And it was like, so muzzle loading season comes around and I get the gun out. And I'm trying to remember how. Oh, so the first thing, so I sit down with Quentin, and so I'm at one end of the field and Popsy's in the other end. And we jumped a big 8-point on our way out there. Mm-hmm. So I was excited about it. And then sure enough, here he comes, this deer, big 8-point, limping across the field. There's something wrong with his front left leg. He's right. Limping. And I got my son with me, and this is going to be awesome. Right. Like, we're going to take this big deer. And I dropped the – and it was right at 100 yards. I hit the rangefinder, 100 yards, perfect shot. Put the crosshairs on him and pull the trigger, and it goes – and just, you know, the primer went off and sparks just flew up in my face.
Right.
Fuck, I was sure I left it loaded after
last season.
Because that's usually what I'll do is I always clean it before I load it. And then if I don't shoot it, I'll just leave the load in there.
Right.
Now, normally I'll still go out and, you know, do some sighting in and stuff. But, I didn't have time to do that this year. But so I was like, shit, I forgot to load it. So so this was – and actually, no, I got to rewind. I'm telling you, I'm blending two stories into one. That was – the night before, it was just me. There was a little 7-point and I shot and it sparked. Nothing happened. So then I dropped two loads in there, and then or two powder pellets and my slug, and then I jammed the slug down in, and my ramrod sticking up about that far. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Something's wrong here.
Yeah. So there was a load in it. It just didn't go off. So now I have pellet. Slug, pellet, slug. And so it's like an ultra magnum load I've got going on in there.
A recipe for disaster.
Right. And I'm so, and the deer, the buck was still standing there.
Wondering what the hell's going on.
And so this was the night before, the one with 8-point with Quint. And I'm like, fuck. So I put the primer, and then I'm like, what do? Like, I'll shoot it anyway and blow it out of there. And don't ever do that.
Right.
I put it up, put him in the crosshairs, and then you're a fucking idiot. Don't do that. So I didn't do it.
Right.
So I just watched this buck mill around in the field for a while. And then finally, when he went in the woods, I just got down and went in.
Right.
And then I went home and I had to get the load out, which was, I bought one of those, the university, one of those bullet pullers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've not heard good things about them.
Yeah. All it did was break my ramrod.
Right.
I took it in there and I like screwed it into the end of the slug. And gave it a yank, and like half my ramrod came out.
Whoops. So
I had to go. I ended up having to go to the hardware store and buy in like a 3/8-inch steel rod because this shit was not coming out. I couldn't push. I took the breech out. I couldn't push it either way. It wouldn't move. And so I had to put my gun down with the breech plug out with a hammer and a rod and hammer
beat it out.
This load out, and then clean and 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 clean, and then. Finally got it cleaned up as best I could, put it back together, loaded it back up, and then it was the next night. Or though I went and shot it, but at Popsy's house, he just has a 50-yard space to shoot. So I'm like, I'll sight it in an inch high. Dial it in, inch high, shooting good, load it up, go out with Quentin. So now I'm there where Popsy's up in the tree. Big 8-point buck leans by, pull the trigger, same thing, sparks come out. But at least this time I know the gun is loaded because I just loaded it.
Right.
So I just put another primer in, and it's still, he's still just marching across there, loaded up, put it on him again, pull the trigger, and it goes, psh! And then right as I like shit and I start to pick up, it goes boom, and it blew.
Delayed reaction.
Yeah. So completely miss him. We hunt near a conservation club, a shooting range, so the gunshots don't bother him very much. So he keeps walking. And he's walking up towards Popsy, who by this point, I forgot he was there. You ever forget? It happened to me. And so I reload again, and this deer is just walking and walking and walking and walking and walking away from me. And I've got it on him. And then at about 200 yards, he turns broadside, and I fire again. This time, he takes off running a little bit. I could tell he wasn't hit. He takes off running a little bit, and there's snow on the ground. Hops a few more feet, and then I was like, oh, shit, he's right in front of Popsy now. Well, he was the first time I shot right in front of Popsy. Like, Popsy wasn't in front of me. He was over there, but he had a shot at him. And then I hear, boom, from Popsy, and he takes off running, and boom, another one. I'm like... All right, well, at least somebody got this buck. Good experience for Quentin after multiple fuck-ups.
Right.
And then we go all the way up there. I go up to the, I text my dad, and I'm like, did you get him? He said, somebody did. I'm like, got him. So get Quentin down, and we start going, and we start walking. I had to check, even though I had the delayed reaction shot, just in case, I'm checking the snow to look for fur, blood, nothing. Right. File the tracks, clean all the way up to where he turned broadside, where I shot, where he hopped, where he was standing. When my dad shot, and then it keeps going, and now I can see dad in the tree stand. He's standing there looking at me, and he's like, as he put it, because he hates a tree stand. He's like, get him? I'm like, I don't see any blood. What do you mean somebody got him? He's like, well, he was limping. I'm like, he was fucking limping before he came out of the woods. Like, I thought, what? You're 40 yards away from him with a shotgun with a scope on it. How did you miss him? I'm in this goddamn wicker basket up here in the goddamn trees. Wicker basket. Point the gun and pull the trigger. Right. That fucking wicker basket. And then he proceeded to sit up in his throne while Quentin and I followed the tracks all the way around.
So sat in his throne.
He sat up there pointing to us. Well, I think he went over there. I'm like, yeah. I know there's tracks in the snow.
Right.
There's no blood. How is this possible? You didn't... Put me up in this fucking wicker basket.
Yeah, Popsy's got some classic
misses. What
it's
worth, I'm on the side of your dad. I don't care for tree stands much myself, just because I've not done a lot of hunting out of them. I'm more comfortable on the ground.
You're a bow hunter? Or
no,
just gun
hunter.
Yeah.
Shit tends to go wrong for me daily, so I don't risk things like climbing 20 feet in the air unnecessarily.
Right. You don't want things to break bad when you're elevated.
I'll hedge my bets by keeping my feet on the ground and hoping everything works out that way. So
we have bad shit happen to us all over the place. I mean, I understand that position. It's probably smart. I mean,
I dropped my bow out of a tree stand before an opening day.
Brett has the best pile collection of opening day nightmares. Like
just from being unprepared, or
no, just
not
stupid
really,
shit.
Just stupid
shit. Like the one year, because you dropped your bow out of a tree stand on multiple occasions, I think.
No,
but the one was that I'm thinking of is probably the same one you are. Is when it was really when we really start putting a lot of effort into
that
scouting and keeping our scent out of the woods, not going out for memory cards, not driving the four wheelers, really just leaving our hunting grounds pristine. Without putting any scent and everything out there for weeks before opening day, and then opening day comes and we meet up at Popsy's house, and it's pitch dark and we're ready to walk out. First, has Brett ever told you that he's afraid of the dark?
No,
I'm not afraid of the dark.
Haven't heard that story. You are. Have not heard that.
But there was a point in my life where I like to see where everything was around me.
You're real hot coming in.
How about now? Looking good now, right?
Yeah, a little better.
I don't have my headphones on today.
So a point in your life where you were scared of...
Not scared. Just wanted to see what was coming.
Scared. Right. Scared of the fucking dark. Okay. To the point where we would walk out to our tree stands in the morning.
Lit up like a Christmas tree.
And I don't... I try not to even use a flashlight. Like, I'll have one with me so I can kind of see shit when I get to my stand, but I just kind of walk out by the moonlight or whatever.
Right.
And Brent... Would look like you ever see a front end loader working in the dark?
Oh yeah,
they got spotlights.
Oh yeah, yes.
He's got a headlamp and two flashlights shining in every direction.
One in the front, one in the back.
Right. But this time he just had one flashlight. I think he was, by the time he hit 26, he was getting over his inherent fear of the dark.
Didn't need the nightlight every night. Anymore.
Right.
Like every other night.
Yeah, so he's on those lights, and I go, and we're creeping out there, and he's really, like, he's making, like, he's facing his fears and not using 15 lights right, on his way up to a stand right. that day because we're going to keep shit quiet for the deer. And so
you guys are getting serious, really buckling down.
Yeah. And so I'm in a chain on stand in a pine tree that's just like a nightmare. Brent always gets mad because I always put my screw in steps.
Fucking monkey legs, man.
I put my steps like 2.5 feet apart, uh-huh. mostly just so he won't hunt in my stands.
Like I'll try to take a step and my foot will be where my titty is.
Right.
Because I'm a good 6 inches taller than Brent, right, so right. it's
Use
helpful.
Use that to your advantage.
Right. And it's a stretch for, like, if I make it so it's uncomfortable for me, it's going to be impossible for him, and I have no right. pressure in my stand. But I'm climbing up in the dark through my pine tree and getting myself settled as quiet as I can be. And then I hear, God damn, ding, 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 boom, oh, fuck. And I'm like, what is, God, and he's still, it's not a big hunting ground where we hunt. He's only 100 yards away
right.
from me.
You can hear him, so that's a problem.
I can see him. I just see flashlights going up. It looked like he dropped a flashlight. I saw it swinging its way down. I hear banging on the stairs.
And the worst part is that was a brand new bow. It's man. First hunting season. Opening day. And that was because the stand was had a little bit of a lean to it.
Oh, shit.
A little pitched.
I don't think you ever did tell me why you dropped your bow. Because I was just pissed because I got it all the time and ever. We put it just leaving it until right. opening morning. It would be settled and everything's quiet. We were out there way early, like an hour before it was going to be light right. out. And just ding dong boom bam fuck.
What happened was I got up there and, you know, I'm getting situated. And I'm, you know, getting my rattling antlers hung up, my call, and I took the bow. And before I hung it up, I think it was on the railing or my legs, but I kind of just set it on there for a mm-hmm. second and turned around like this. And because the tree stand was had a little bit of a lean,
Brent's classic leaning tree stands,
it went ding 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 ding.
You take this hunting uncomfortably thing very serious, don't you?
He hit every step on the way down, just tumbling down.
Then there was the opening morning where I was climbing the tree. I forgot to put a hole line up, remember? And I smacked the shit out of my sight when I was climbing up yeah, there and shot that
was
in the throat.
You didn't drop it. I knew you did something. You banged your sight on the climbing a tree.
I was climbing
while
the death trap with the busted ladder without a hole line.
Yeah, why make
we
it
should
easy?
Put a disclaimer like this. This
do not do that.
These are, right. these are things you shouldn't. These are lessons we've learned, and you should not do these things that we're talking about.
Well,
like the opening day, same story up at our deer camp up north. We get everything all set up, and again, like we always seem to run the deer out of there before opening day comes around. We'll see a bunch of deer, and then, you know, gun season starts, and they're gone. So we're right. like, we're not going to drive the four wheelers out so much. We're going to keep it quiet. We're going to get out there one day, set everything up, set everybody's blinds up, get back, and go back out opening morning. Right. And Brent, I think you rode with Popsy, and then you hoofed it all the way back. He set up a new blind way back in the National Forest. Mm-hmm. We all get all set up, and then it's like as the sun's coming up.
Oh yeah!
Here goes the four wheeler. Like what the fuck?
Well, from where I was at. So I get all the way out to the blind. I sit down, same thing, getting my shit all ready.
Right.
And I go to put the bullets in the gun.
No bullets.
No goddamn bullets. So then I thought about it for a minute because I was a ways out there, and I'm sitting there. The sun's about to come up. I'm like, so what the fuck do I do now?
Right.
I had no sidearm or anything.
Right.
I had a knife.
Yeah, it's probably not going to get the job done.
So I made the decision
to fuck everybody else's hunting up. Right. I need bullets, guys. You don't care, do you?
It was like running a drive.
Forgot his yeah. fucking bullets.
You're the only one that thinks that everybody else is just pissed. Right. I'm pushing them to you. No, you're not.
Oh, well, he comes by it honest because Popsy's great for fucking up an opening morning.
Oh, my yeah. God.
I had to buy him. He's going to be so pissed when he hears, but this true fucking story. I had to buy him what they call a blind beacon.
Yeah.
It's like a strobe light you hang on your blind, and if you can get within like 500 feet of it and push a button, it'll
okay.
strobe. Because he... And this is like the first year we were up there. We put his blind up, and there's a trail that comes off my property, and then there's a straight, like I made a straight line that goes straight directly to his blind, mm-hmm. and I hung reflective tape and reflective pins every 5 feet,
just trying to keep him on track
all the way up there. So I knew when he was going in the dark, you shine your flashlight, and they'll go,
right.
and he can.
So like a landing strip.
Yeah. Opening morning, we go up. And so now I'm hunting over this property. It's a bunch of ridges and valleys, that like fingers that go out. So I'm hunting on top of one of these ridges looking into this valley. And then it goes back up and then down a little. And that's where he's at in the next valley. But he's, so I'm here and he's walking over here. And I take off and his flashlight starts going. And I get settled into my spot. I just bought this cabin and this property. Right, right. Opening morning, here we go. And I see, so he's going this way. And like it's still dark, and I see the flashlight go, and then I see it going this way, and then I see it disappear over a hill, and then all like 20 minutes later, I see it pop up back up over here, what? And then go back this way. I'm trying to text him like, "What the fuck are you doing?" Right. He wasn't looking at his phone.
He's trying to get to the stand.
Yeah, he's at this point. He's completely. I don't know how he got off the reflective line, but he's going in circles and circles, and then he disappears. And it's right at first light, like the sun's coming up. You don't need, it's still pretty dark, but you don't need a flashlight anymore. Right. And then I hear something crashing. Now, the last place I saw him was over here to my right.
Right.
Probably 500 yards away from me. I could just see the flashlight bouncing around.
So now you're hearing a noise.
Then I hear it come crashing, coming down that valley from my left. Opening morning, first time we hunted there.
Here we go.
Crunch, 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 yep. Crunch, crunch. And I get my rifle up and I'm getting ready. And there goes Popsy. Like walking. And he's at this point, he's done. He's swears like, goddamn motherfuck. Sitting there, and I'm sitting there in my horn. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right. Hunt's blown.
Like, this buck bullshit. I can't. I'm like, where's. I'm like, it's right there. It's been there the whole time. So I'm literally yelling at him, like, keep going up there. This is our opening morning hunt, yelling from 50 yards away from each other. When you get to my four-wheeler, look at your ribbons and follow them to the fucking blind. And that happened every single morning that entire week of deer camp. Popsy getting lost. Like, to various extents. Like, he finally got, because I was so mad that morning that he started, when he got lost, he just sit on a tree until it got light out.
Right.
He just sit there. And so then he started, he wouldn't go out until it was light. And then it was like, those deer aren't moving. You don't got to be out there so early. So we'd wait till it got light out before he'd go out.
Right.
So we got him a blind beacon.
Does it work?
No, it didn't work. I set it up. Defective or something.
Popsy has to go out early every year to drag the trails so he knows where he's going.
Because the leaves cover up the trails and he's got to be able to see his trail at night.
All right.
I can imagine the scene though, because Popsy is all oranged out when he goes out.
Yeah, head to toe.
Popsy's a big guy. Popsy. Just a big orange.
There's a billboard ablaze orange.
Walking in circles.
So, making noise.
Yeah, it was a good time. We've had some... Popsy's had some misses up there too. Of course, the one that, like, the rest of us are all like sneaking out quietly into our end, like, and he doesn't give a. He drives his four wheeler, walks 20 for 30 yards, gets into his blind,
right?
And he's got, and it's always him. And the rest of us are like, we got dopermits, we got like, all we need to see is a deer, deer,
right.
Hang something on the pole. And as Popsy, that has the 8-point walk out in front of him, or the 6-point walk out in front of him,
naturally.
And it's always every time it's happened.
Yes.
And of course, you know, opening day at deer camp, it's the same thing. As soon as there's a gunshot, now that we used to have walkie-talkies.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody has cell phones back in the day. But if they start going out, everybody's trying to pinpoint it. Popsy, was that you, Brent? Who was it? Who was it?
Right. Shots fired.
Popsy, is that you? Yep. Did you get him? Don't know.
So that's a no.
That's when we record this deer camp episode. That's going to be one of my favorite parts. I want to read some of the old journal entries.
Because
that one's in there.
Oh, is it?
I think the quote is, Popsy missed at the embarrassing range of 25 yards.
Oh, the camp log.
Yeah, that's going to... Have you written in that thing lately?
I try to at least every year, like at the end of it, to put when we first.
I know you used to, but I don't. Camp, I,
like,
seen you
I would do like a daily journal entry every day of deer camp.
How many times everybody did cut or dishes and who shot which? We've only shot one deer at that cabin.
Yeah, I'm the only one's ever, and it was one time, one doe.
That's it, and then the other does came and were eating the corn out of her guts. Remember?
Yeah, it was just weird.
Zombie deer.
Yeah.
Chronic wasting disease is just south of there. So,
yeah. Cool.
I was the only one that had a dopermit that year, and it was opening morning. Shot this doe, you know, got her out, took her, hung her on the pole, and then the next. So there was no more dopermits for anybody. And then, like the next night, I'm sitting in my stand, and like other deer came and were like
eating her
guts. Yeah. Like they were literally eating this is a coyote or something. I picked it apart a little bit, but they were literally eating the corn out of her gut pile.
Waste not, want not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we always have bad luck up there. It's like when everybody has a doe permit, nobody sees any deer, and then the year is when
nobody has a doe permit. There's does everywhere.
Yeah, because that one year we saw over, it's like 100 deer between the five of us or six of us.
Wow.
But nobody had any doe permits.
Right. Yeah. Because the first year there was none. The next year I had one, and then we all started applying, and since then everybody's like last year. I think most of us had them. We just didn't see any deer.
Right.
It's just crazy, and it's that our where we hunt up there, my cabin in the summertime, it's nuts. Like we have we'll have a pile of corn back behind the cabin just to watch the deer.
Right.
And we'll be sitting at a campfire with the radio going and the dogs, and there'll be six deer standing out there at any time.
Huh.
And they don't even care. And then like gun season comes around and they.
Yeah. I always thought it was interesting how deer, they seem to know when gun season happens. Like opening day, a gun season, you'll see deer everywhere. Immediately after that. Like in the morning, you'll see deer. That afternoon, they'll be gone. They'll switch straight to midnight mode or, whatever they do. They seem to have a pretty good biological clock.
Yeah. And figuring out. I don't know if it's just I've always thought up there it's just the pressure of. Right. Because it's an area, like there are a few permanent residents where we hunt, but not a lot.
Right,
Most of them are people like us that go up to the cabin to just
weekenders and
and it's like, do they know when they? Because people ride four wheelers and shit up there all the time, but it's like they know when all of a sudden the four wheelers are going back into the woods, and
they see people in orange suits.
People are trying to put down piles of corn in weird places. Right. They just. But that kind of happens everywhere. But that's the only place where I've never been able to figure it out. It's been 9 years.
I think if we would have had another day or two last year, I think we would have got one.
Yeah, we were starting to figure out. That's what I'm looking forward to this year. The timing's a little better because last year I think it ended up we were up way early, wasn't it? Like 3 or 4 days early.
I think so. Yeah, because we did a lot of scouting
and drinking.
That goes without saying.
Right.
Any good deer camp's got to have some beer.
Yeah, and then like we only hunted for maybe 2 days. Where this year we'll get Thursday, Friday, and Saturday full days to hunt. Plus, I want to do some bow hunting up there this year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because we're going up there for 2 weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be nice. And it seems, I don't know, I think we have a better chance in bow season, less people.
Yeah, I missed a nice 8-point, which is for up there. We've never seen any real big deer bow hunting.
Just up in Baldwin, the deer are usually pretty scuzzy. Mm-hmm. Bucks, they're...
Yeah, and not many of them. I just went up.
I jumped a nice one last year.
That's right. Yeah, I just straight missed one. Fucked up completely. I have a whole setup on my harness that I wear, and I'm not super safe guy. I don't wear a harness as much as I should, but mm-hmm. I have certain stands that I won't get into without a
where I'm
25 foot up in the air on a chain on stand.
Definitely need it.
Yeah, especially like ones where I know like I might have to turn around and lean out. So mm-hmm. So on my harness, I've got one of those muddy harness like vests, which are nice because they're easy to get in and out of.
Right.
But I had like my rangefinder clipped to it and everything. Well, we got up to the cabin late. I wanted to get out earlier to hunt than I did, and I just grabbed my stuff and ran out. And I didn't throw my harness on because I'm in a ladder stand. And I get up and right away, here comes like 5 or 6 doe to my left.
Nice.
Oh, shit. Get me a nice deer up here.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Go back and chill. Because Becky's convinced that we only go up there to drink and play cards, which is true because we go up every year and come back with nothing. I'll be like, so yeah, Brent lost in cards like 6 times. Mike got drunk and threw up in the trash can. Right. It was awesome.
Yeah, we went hunting too. Yeah.
Yeah. Corey shot my beer can. It was crazy. She's like, did you guys hunt at all? I'm like, oh, yeah, we did that for like 2 hours in the morning. Yeah.
Totally. That's what we went up there for.
Yeah. But she's back at the cabin. I'm like, I'm going to come back with dragging a deer up to the cabin. This is going to be great.
Get out the butter and onions, honey. I'm going to gut you. Right.
I'm looking at all these does, and I look off to my right, and I'm like, oh, shit, there's a buck coming. Right. This is before the antler point restriction up there, and it was just like a little 4-point. He's coming. I'm like, oh, all right, we're going to get a buck up here. And then right behind him was a nice 6-point. I'm like, no shit, coming right in the line. And then they were like behind a pine tree, so they're kind of revealing themselves one at a time. Behind them was a nice big 8-point.
All right.
I'm like, no shit.
Awesome.
Here it comes. And it was one I already had in my mind. Like, I had the picture in my mind of him hanging on the tree stand.
Right.
Or hanging on the buck pole. Everybody sold it to be fanfare, newspaper clippings.
You're going to be the hero.
Right. It's going to be amazing. Because we usually, at the end of October, we take a trip up there with just adults. And we just, usually get kicked out of bars and stuff. And
sure.
No drink on. So, like, everybody was there. And I was like, everybody's going to be so impressed with me when I come back with this nice 8-point. And they come walking up, and they're crossing over this path. And now this stand, that ladder stand, the corner's tall.
Yeah,
it's like 26 feet or something. It's the tallest ladder stand I've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
And so it seemed like I was way up high. Sure. It was throwing off my depth perception. And they're walking across this path, giving me a perfect broadside shot. And it was like small, medium, then large coming.
Right. All right in a row.
And so they come walking by, and I'm like, I need to range them. And I grab my rangefinder's not there.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, shit. I'm like, oh, I got this. They're probably... I'm trying to remember. Oh, I figured it for... They looked like they were a mile away. I'm like, it's got to be about 45 yards.
Okay.
And so, pretty long toss. So the first one goes, second one, and then that big 8-point comes out. Last steps right into the two-track. Clear shot, 45 yards. I give him a little... He stops, looks at me, let it fly,
right,
and shot 2 inches over his back. Just watched it. And the worst, like, I use Lumen. Actually, I use the... Nocturnals, mm-hmm, for any of you bow hunters that are looking for a good light up knock. The nocturnals are the best ones that I've ever used because they never fail.
Mm-hmm.
But they literally blink. Mine blink green and red like a Christmas tree.
Right.
So I shot. But the nice thing about them when you hit a deer is you see where you hit it and you can find your arrow. The worst part is when you miss a deer, like, you know, like, you just watch it go woo,
yep,
right over the top. Fucking just missed him. And that just, I don't know if you ever missed a nice buck. I know most of us have. It just... Yeah. Guts you.
Yeah.
It just guts you.
It's a particular feeling, like getting punched in the stomach.
Right. And the balls at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Right. There's not much more disappointment. Like, it's wanting a boy and having a girl, kind of. I don't know. Is that... it's pretty disappointing. I don't have any kids, so I can say that.
Do you have kids?
No. Nope, I'm never going to.
It's like getting punched kicked in the balls, punched in the guts while someone tells you that your puppy just died.
Right.
It's kind of that feeling. Like, it's just all the emotions, like anger, sadness, and just physical pain.
Yeah, you were texting me that night when you were in the tree stand. You're like, it's just blinking at me. It's just blinking at me.
I was just watching, but looking at my arrow down there going, ding, ding, ding.
You missed. You missed. You missed.
Yeah. And it was, I'd only been up there for 10 minutes, so like, I had time that maybe I'll circle back.
Right.
He didn't fucking circle back, and it scattered all eyes. I'm gonna kill something. What is it? God, where are those does at? Right. Somebody come back here.
See a squirrel or a rabbit or something.
But I went back after I was done. I went and got the arrow and went back to the camp. And then the next day, I went out to go hunt, and I took my rangefinder and I stood where that trail was where you were standing. And I was fucking shocked. I go bink 25 yards.
No way.
I misjudged it by 20 yards.
Wow.
But it was just, all I could think of was I don't usually hunt, or that year at least, I hadn't been hunting in stands that tall. Aye. And I'm hunting in, I was hunting a lot in that pine tree stand.
Oh, yeah.
Which is only like maybe 14 feet off the ground, and it's, mm-hmm, in a bunch of trees, and I only have just little openings and short shots. And it was when I was way up there, just completely threw me off and just airballed that deer. I missed a nice 8-point this year, too, with my muzzleloader, because I'm an idiot.
Which one was that?
It was the real wide, the one called A-track.
Yeah, yep.
It was. I was sitting in my two-man stand up in the tree row, and there was a little doe coming up behind me, and I'd stood up, and this was just complete rookie move bullshit. It just got literally buck fever, got too excited. I'm looking at her behind me, so I'm standing up facing, and I'm looking to see if there's a buck coming. Oh, it's in the middle of the rut.
Right.
And I'm just so focused on her, I don't know what's happening where the way I'm normally facing, which is into the field where the deer are crossing.
Right.
And then I look back and I just see this big white rack, just wide. I mean, this thing's, he's probably got an 18 inch inside spread,
yeah,
at least, real wide, nice 8-point. And I just see that there was a doe in front of him in that rack. And he's huge because the doe was walking in front of him, so the weeds were kind of tall.
Uh-huh.
I could see like the top 2 inches of the doe's back, and I could see most of the buck's torso. Like, right. He was
hanging out over the top of a big time.
Huge deer. And he's going across, and so I'm facing this way, and I see him, and he's close to the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, fuck, I only got a second. He's going to walk in the woods. The reality of it was I had plenty of time.
Right.
I could have sat down, but I swung around. So, and this is about a 170, 175-yard shot. Okay. And I turned around and just freestand, feet still pointed this way, twisted, freestanding with no rest on my gun.
Shooting across your body.
Across my body. You know, put it up, put him on this, the second hash on my... my scope.
The reticle there.
Yep. And I just, I mean, I went and looked all over for any kind of, but I, you could tell, you know, when you miss a deer.
Yeah.
What, you know, he just kind of looks back and just goes hop, hop, yep. hop, hop, hop.
The most sickening experience was when Ethan shot that big one from 10 yards. I mean, he was a big, tall, thick 8-point. I mean, he would have scored over 130.
Nice.
But at 10 yards away with a muzzle loader, and we were using those. that was when I was in a hurry. I'm way back from deer camp that year, and Ryan gave me those 240 grain scorpions.
Right.
The same one that I shot that 11-point with.
Right.
That didn't have an exit wound, and I thought I missed him.
Really?
Yeah. We found that one by chance. We found like two little drops of blood, and I had you. It was me, you, and
we
Dad.
We found him because I'm a genius trapper.
Sounds like a story I need to hear.
well, first though, with Ethan, that poor kid.
Yeah.
This buck comes out, and it had the body language like it was about ready to take off. Like it knew we were there. Right. And he was standing broadside, threw some thick, and he pulled the trigger, and it donkey kicked, took off crashing through the woods. We're like, all right, nailed him.
Right.
We get down, and we're looking at the blood. It's good. Good dark, you know.
Good blood.
Right. And then it starts trailing off. Like you get like big clumps, and then the farther you go, it's just smaller drops, smaller right. drops, smaller right. drops. By the morning, we went back out there, and you could see where he lay down on his side, and you could see right where he hit him behind the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And he just stood up and walked off. Never found another drop of blood. No dead deer.
Weird.
I had that happen with
him. And that was a huge buck, man. That I felt so bad for that kid.
I've yet to. Now, my boy Quentin during youth hunt when he was 8 did shoot his own first buck. First time he was ever out. Shot him a nice little 5-point.
Mm-hmm.
But he's never been with me when I've got a buck.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another time. It was a similar situation to that where him and I were sitting. I had built a box blind so he could hunt with me. And nice big buck, kind of a weird squirrely rack, but a big buck was chasing these does, and he finally stopped being 150 yards out, and I put one in him with that muzzle loader. You could literally, that time at least, you could watch the smoke trail of the bullet.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Like like you shot and you could just watch it whap. It was quartering towards me a little, put it right in his shoulder, and he dropped, stood up, stumbled into this woods, but there was a hillside, so I could see him in the woods,
mm-hmm.
and he starts taking a few steps and then watched him fall and roll down the hill.
Right.
And so we're jumping high five, and this right. is another Got time him. I learned. This is actually how I fucked up my muzzleloader from the lesson I learned after this hunt.
Okay.
Because he drops and rolls down. I'm like, yeah, I'm high-fiving Quentin. I'm calling Dad, telling him, you know, bring the camera, just before we had, you know, right. good iPhones. You right. know, we're like, bring the camera, bring the truck. I'm going to gut you a buck. You know, there's going to be an article in the newspaper and all that bullshit. You know, like every time. Right. And while I'm on the phone to my dad, I watched that after he literally fell and rolled down a hill.
Right.
I watched the buck stand up and start climbing up the hill, walking slow as shit. I'm like, what the hell? I got to go. This deer is moving.
Right.
And I grabbed my gun. I'm like, fuck.
Reload.
I hadn't reloaded. And so I'm like, and of course now I'm like shaking, trying to drop all the stuff in and get it. By the time I got it reloaded, he was, honestly, had turned the corner. But he was moving super slow. He had turned the corner. And then, of course, we go up and we track him. We see right where I shot, there's fur, a good spatter of blood.
Right.
Just a poured blood trail into the woods.
Where he went up the hill.
Yeah, up the hill. And then he falls. And then there's a nice big pool of blood where he was laying there for a minute.
Right.
And then from there, I got up, and it was like a pin drop of blood every 5 feet when he was walking. I still, and we tracked him forever, and we lost the blood trail, picked it back up, never found that deer, was just baffled. I still am baffled as to what happened.
I did some reading up on that. It sounds like you just don't get any penetration, and it just hits the muscle.
Right.
So they do the donkey kick like you hit him good, and then it looks like good blood. But they said that's a telltale sign. As soon as it starts getting less and less and less and less, that means you didn't
right.
get in there.
Good. Well, that made sense. But what got me was the way he collapsed. And it was like you could almost see, like, and it could have been the smoke from the gun, but I still remember you could almost see, like, because it was cold,
mm-hmm.
you could almost see steam come out, like, from his lungs, like, shoot out the hole. But it might have been the smoke from the bullet going into it. It was just a weird, it was neat in the way to, because, you know, we've all trailed those blood trails.
Yeah.
And had these, you know, were just like that. Good blood. Big puddle of blood. He's got to be close, and then it dries up. I literally watched it happen right in front of me.
Right.
But if I had reloaded my gun, as soon as he stood back up, I had a 100-yard broadside shot. I could have smoked him after he stood back up, but but I didn't.
Lesson learned.
Yeah. And so then the next time, like 5 years later, I did reload my gun like a smart person.
Right.
and then never fired the round out of it and cleaned it. Fuck my, I had to buy a new, like, I could never get it right after that. Yeah. Never could get it right again after that. It was a, it was a just absolute pain in the ass with that gun after that point. It
messed up the rifling in the barrel or just...
Yeah, it was like, it was just, yeah, it was a stainless barrel, but it still, it was so corroded.
Yeah.
And then I think when I was pounding the...
Steel rod into it?
Yeah, I fucked something up because when I would sight it in, it would... Because that story continued. I missed like five deer that year because it would. I found out that if I zeroed it at 50 yards, mm-hmm. at 100, I was like 8 inches to the right and down.
Yeah, you had like a chart you carried around with you.
Yeah, I had it on my wrist, and I couldn't reach it. So like, distance with your gun should make your shot move up or down.
Right.
It should never move side to side.
No.
But if I shot, then I sighted at 100, got it dialed in. But if I shot it at 50, I was 8 inches up and to the left.
Right.
If I shot it at 150, I was like 10 inches down and to the right. So it was coming down at an angle.
Weird.
All I could figure was somehow my mounts were
a little
crooked or something. Right. I could never get it figured out. Huh. It never shot the same again after that. And then eventually I just went and bought a new one. Yeah.
Never had that problem again.
It's for sale right now. It's a Knight Revolution.
You never got rid of it?
Discounted. No, I still have it. It's an awesome, it's a favorite. I like it a lot better than my new one. I've got a CVA now.
That thing looks jumpy.
It is. It's too light, I think, yeah. Part of it. It's too light. I've never, with that Knight, man, I had it dialed in. I had zeroed at 100, and I had a ballistic reticle scope where mm-hmm. I can, you know, if you set your power to, like, for me, I knew if I set it to 7 power, like my second hash would be 150 yards, my right. next hash would be right. 200 yards, and it was a super accurate gun, you know, as long as you cleaned it.
Right. As long as you took care of it. Yeah.
It's like my gun's got a real heavy barrel. I love my gun though, because that's what mm-hmm. that we were talking about, that 11 point.
Mm-hmm.
That was a crazy morning. We had just got back from up north, and I had lost my loading rod, remember?
Again. What was it, opening day?
Yep.
Again? Always.
So I come home and I'm in a panic. So I go to Walmart and mm-hmm. buy a cheap replacement, you know.
Sure.
And so when I loaded my gun, it wasn't marked or anything, and apparently pushed too hard.
Okay.
So we're out there the first morning back from deer camp, and just the rut is on down here.
Right.
Like it was one of the mornings where the moon was pretty bright. So right before the sun came up, there's just bodies everywhere mm-hmm. out there. And right at first light, I called in a nice A point, came out through the tree row. He's about 30 yards broadside, and I put the crosshairs on him, and it went crack like a firecracker went off, and right. a bunch of sparks flew out the end of the gun, and it was like a miniature fireball went between me and the deer.
Huh.
And he just looked at me and said, fuck you.
Right.
And ran away.
Not today.
So I wanted to wrap the gun around the tree, because I'm like, what the fuck was that all about? I must have cracked one of the powder pellets when I loaded it, because I pushed too hard, because it wasn't marked.
Right.
So I reloaded right away and then got down and looked around, and I was like, just in case, you know, no blood. No, and I'm still spooking deer. Like there's just deer everywhere.
Right.
So I climbed back up, hit the grunt call, and no more than 5 minutes later, this big, big 11 point sticks his head out right at the corner in the southeast, and then just called him in
mm-hmm.
nice and easy.
Worked him up to you.
40 yards broadside. And you want to talk about being scared? Because I was like, I hope this doesn't do it again.
Right.
Or I will wrap this goddamn thing around a tree.
Right.
Pull the trigger. And with a muzzleloader, there's so much smoke, you can't see what they do right away.
Right.
But I pull the trigger, and I watched him bound off into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shaking and shit, you know, and I get down, and I'm looking around. There's no fur, no blood. Like, you got to be fucking kidding me. You got to be fucking kidding me. The gun went off. I just missed.
Right.
And I found one tiny little drop of blood. So then I called you, Bob, and then Popsy came out there.
Mm-hmm. Popsy is the tracking gene.
Yeah, bringing his Ruger, ready to rock.
So to begin with, I always hesitate to call Popsy to help track, because Popsy's he doesn't see very well.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to help.
Right.
And of course, mind you, we've learned everything we know from Popsy.
Sure.
Great hunter.
Sure.
But his tracking method is to just walk around and look for the deer. And so while you're trying to be careful and look to not disturb leaves and look for blood, right. Indeed, with his size 14, just going, clump, 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 clump.
I think it went over here.
Yeah, right.
So we're looking. I think we found a couple more drops. We finally found where he went into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bobby, with his Indian tracking skills, found it. Something. You just seen the rack sticking up over a log or something.
No, I didn't see the rack. You
That's right. Yeah, because we were both next to each other.
You guys were telling me, because I'm like, well, where did you, because you were freaking out and Popsy was wandering.
Right.
And you were like, we got blood here, and then it just stops. And like, I'm like, well, where did you go? And they're like, well, we went through here. We've checked all through here. And I said, well, stop. So we went where that drop was. And I'll do this a lot when I'm tracking, is I'll just get down on my knees on the ground, kind of look from the deer's perspective. Right. And just kind of looked, and it was like, well, it wasn't like a deer run that you see where it's just like beat down into the ground. But from that perspective, if you looked, you could see
just a little
a clear opening place where a deer would likely go.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, there's a trail right through there. Did you go that way? I'm like, nope. And because you guys have been tracking for probably an hour before I got there. It was, we walked up over the trail, and I think you were in front of me.
Yeah, because I remember I started smacking you and I couldn't even talk. Because it was a huge rack.
Yeah. Deer was 30 feet away from him where they had stopped.
Right.
But they went this way, and he went that way, and they just walked up over the hill, and there he was.
There it was.
And come to find out, I hit him perfect, right in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
But that bullet just disintegrated when it hit him. I mean, it just fragmented so bad, it never came out the other end. So, weird. And he had nothing to pump the blood out.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's the one disadvantage of a heart shot, is it's fatal. And you can't eat quickly. It. Yeah, right. If you eat woodchucks and all, I don't know about the shit you eat. Fucking eating carp and suckerfish. Like, God damn it. Beetles out of your ear. You got rabies.
Yeah, that was weird.
I found out I don't have rabies. I emailed Carrie, our last guest, and told him the situation. So Adam,
story
time. Let me fill you in real quick.
Yeah, I got a picture last night, and you're like, oh yeah, that's been in my ear a whole month.
Yeah.
What?
So, mid-August, I was out fishing, and I was trying to get down to a little hole there in Brandywine Creek, and there's a bunch of deadfall, and I'm trying to ease my way down there, and I slip and I fall in my creek shoes and bang up my shins a little bit. Didn't think much of it. And then I get home, and, like, I'm having trouble walking. Like, down my ankle and my shin, there was some, like, abrasions. Like I scraped it, and I banged it up a little bit.
Right, right.
Whatever, but it kept hurting. For like 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and then it started to swell up a little bit. And I looked closer, and there's two little fang marks.
Oh,
so I'm like, oh, I must have got bit by a spider.
Right.
But if it was like a brown recluse or something, it would have been a little bit more obvious.
Right.
You know, so it's probably just a big wolf spider. No big deal.
He jumps right to fang marks.
Yeah.
Couldn't just be two little puncture wounds.
Yeah, a stick got him or something. No, it's something with teeth bit him.
Well, why else would my shit be swollen? And red like
infection.
That. It was like a classic. Tree. It was like a bee sting. Is what my shit was starting to look like after a while, and it itched. So my eye was probably just a spider bite. Now this, time goes on, and then earlier last week, it's really not funny, but a kid down in Elkhart, about what 25-30 miles away. How far is Elkhart from
about
here?
That? Maybe 30. Yeah.
Got bit by a bat that was tested positive for rabies.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah.
So then I started thinking, like, maybe a goddamn bat bit me in my leg. So then I start Googling shit. Then I start freaking out. And in the meantime, what? I unknowingly had a beetle in my ear. Because on...
Bullshit. I'm calling bullshit right now.
No, hold on.
When you say unknowingly...
I really didn't think it was... Okay, so let me back up on that. So in the middle of all this, it was September 1st, Michigan Notre Dame. We watched the game, have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Drunk, obviously. It was my birthday, too.
Sure.
So we go back and we're sleeping. It was like 2 in the morning, and I feel something in my ear, and instinctually I put my ear in there and try to scoop it out, and I ended up pushing it down in there, and it felt like a bug, like something was scratching at my eardrum, and that shit hurt bad. So then Cassie comes in there, and she's putting shit in my ear, put some peroxide in, she's trying to rinse it out, you know?
Right, right.
It quit hurting, but it still felt like there was some shit in there.
Right.
So time goes on, and then it didn't really feel like anything at all. It didn't feel right. Like, I could put a Q-tip in, and I could feel there was something there.
Some kind of blockage.
Yeah. And then about, I don't know, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, it started messing with my hearing a little bit. Like, I couldn't hear. It felt like I had an earbud or a earplug in my one ear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, well. What the hell? I just didn't want to go to the damn doctor. I'm thinking, like, oh, I'll get it eventually. It'll come out with a Q-tip.
With him not knowing there was a bug, he was up at my house in my studio recording, and he says, God, I'm all fucked up, Bob. I got rabies. And I got a bug in my ear. I said, what? I said, I got rabies, and I got a bug in my ear.
Well, because at that point, I was convinced, because I was starting to feel like shit, too.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I think it might have something going on, like right. an infection in here, and whatever is in there is definitely still there.
It's like 3 weeks ago, a bug flew in my ear, and now my jaw hurts. Is that bad? I need to go to the doctor.
Well, it's not good.
The rabies.
It's not good.
So at that point, I was like, I need to go to the doctor. Well, the night before that, I drove up and I screwed up the time zone situation
right.
with our
yep.
guest.
Yep.
So that was blown. So I went home and I'm like, oh, I can't cancel again.
Right.
Starting to feel more like shit. So we did the interview. Then the next day I go to the doctor and she looks in there. She's like, oh, it looks like there's a ball of wax in there. I'm like, that's okay.
Yeah, sure. All something.
Right. Maybe
it's better than nothing.
No. I'm like, but that's weird. It's like, but I was like, but wax would be weird because I you know I've been shoving a Q-tip in there all the time.
Right,
you think
right.
I'd get some out on it? Yeah. And she's like, oh, well. So she puts the little spray bottle in there, and she's like, I think I got it out. And then I hear her thumbing around in the little dish thing, and she says, oh my god, it's a beetle. Like, and it was a good sized beetle.
Yeah.
I can hear better now, guys.
God damn it.
Hooray.
And I don't think I got rabies. So,
what happened to the bite on your leg then? You're okay?
Yeah.
Healed up?
Yeah, because okay. by the time I was starting to freak out about it, I'm like, and then it actually doesn't even hurt anymore. But that shouldn't hurt for that long. That's why I was worried. Like, man, something's not right. And, you know, you start Googling the symptoms yeah. for rabies. It's like headache and fever. I'm like, I got a little bit of a fever.
Right. I didn't think I had it before,
and I got a headache
because
I got a fucking beetle in my ear.
I told my wife, first thing I said was, Brent's got rabies. She's like, of course he does. Why does he have rabies? Why does he have rabies? Like, because he read an article about rabies. So now he has rabies.
Self-diagnosed.
The worst part was he told me that, me being ignorant about rabies. He's like, yeah, I think I got rabies. And I'm like, God, I hope you have rabies. Like, that would be so funny if you had rabies. He just looked at me, devastated, and said, it's 100% fatal, Bob. I'm like, oh, wait, no, don't have rabies. That's my bad.
Hang on, I didn't mean it like that.
Well, I emailed Carrie, and I told him what was going on. He's like, well, basically, if you get tested right now, it's expensive, and if it comes up positive, you're kind of fucked.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Like, live your life. Max your credit cards out. Go
take a vacation.
Right.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Just do you for a while, Bert. Just do you, man.
Yeah, I think we can wrap this thing up, though. We've been going about an hour. Got any more stories you want to talk about first?
Stories.
Anything else you want to cover?
I can tell stories for days, but we'll do it. We've got a deer camp episode coming up. I'm hungry because you promised me if I drove down here from...
We're recording in the morning. If you haven't noticed, there wasn't any beers being cracked in this episode.
No.
Drinking coffee.
I was like, Bert, why don't you guys come up? We'll do this in my studio. And he was like, nah. Come down here, I promise I'll bring you donuts.
Did I say promise?
I came for the donuts.
Did I say promise?
I'm going to look at the text right now. I'll tell you in 2 minutes.
If I said promise, I might need to run to Martin's real quick.
Let's see. There was certainly a discussion about donuts. Mm-hmm. 10:30 a.m. Sorry, guys. Stand up. Work on that. I'll bring donuts. There was
no promise.
There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'll bring donuts. It says.
Well,
lying bastard.
Lying bastard.
I'm gonna bring donuts to deer camp.
Well, thanks for driving down here anyway.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed it. Anytime.
You like our little garage studio? It's a little different than your fancy little setup,
dude. This is a nice setup. This is really nice. It's comfortable in here. You got a lot of space.
I like it.
Yeah.
I dig it.
It's rustic. A little rustic.
Well, you guys, this is a better recording studio than I would say most people that make podcasts have. People like record in their closets with like mattresses against the wall to try to absorb sound.
We can try that. We got tires and...
Right.
Air mattresses.
You got the spider webs to help absorb echo.
That's right.
Watch out for the spiders, Bert.
Spiders have rabies? I didn't know that was a thing.
Fuck you guys. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. All right, everybody. That's it. Told you it was going to be funny. Hopefully, everybody is ready for opening day. I know I am. I am ready to fill that freezer. I'm getting hungry. So, down the pipe from Racks, Fur, and Feathers, like I said before, we're going to be recording another phone interview about chronic wasting disease with it looks like Brian Richards. I knocked out one with Carrie Maurer myself, but Adam was under the weather. He couldn't join me for the interview, and I don't know. So we're gonna do this one with Brian, and then
we're going to see where we go from there. So either way, you guys are going to have a chronic wasting disease episode coming at you here shortly, so keep your ears to the ground. All editing, as always, is done by the Kyle Palmoner. All music and artwork is done by Shane Yoder from PutThemInASong.com and the Root Note Podcast. If you want to get a hold of us here at Racks, Fur, and Feathers, send us an email at racksfurandfeathers@gmail.com. Look us up on Twitter at RFF Podcast. Facebook at Racks, Fur, and Feathers. There's a group and a page, or Racks, Fur, and Feathers on Instagram. Plenty of avenues, everybody. So get a hold of us. Send us your pictures. I can't wait for this deer season. So good luck, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.